Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Unleashing Magic, an Urban Fantasy Novel by Debbie Cassidy, narrated by Zara Jane Narqui. 1. The meeting room was silent as we waited on Varuna. Melody sat opposite me, her face a pale smudge beneath her red hair. Xavier and Nolan, the two department heads, sat at the top end of the table, their expressions grim. Malina slipped her hand into mine, and I couldn't help but glance at the empty seat to my right, the seat Mira would have claimed if she'd been here. But she was gone. I hated to admit it, but it was looking more and more as if she'd decided to take payment up on his offer of returning home after all. I swallowed the lump in my throat. Her rejection hurt, but I couldn't blame her. He was all she'd ever known, and honestly, she owed our world nothing. The large clock on the wall ticked, marking the passage of time. Time we were running short of. The eclipse was in 4 days. 4 days for the coven to get the binding spell ready that would stick Malachi in a box. 4 days for us to come up with a plan to lure him out, and 4 days to figure out exactly how he intended to purge our world. Vritra was supposed to be here, but he was running late. I needed him by my side. The last couple of days, his presence had been the only thing that had kept me sane, stopped me from dwelling on the fact that I was acting as a pathway for a bunch of witches whose connections to the skein flowed through me. When Garrett had bound me to the witches, turning me into the anchor to the skein, he'd warned me of the possible side effects, but I hadn't expected to feel them so soon or so keenly. I was tired, like all the time, and the needing was coming back. The inhibitor chip that Patrick had created for me was losing its effectiveness or malfunctioning. He'd told me it was a short-term solution, but I'd expected it to last at least a few months. Being the anchor must somehow be disrupting it, and I was now on a clock before the devastating effects of the needing claimed me. The needing was stronger when Vritra was around, but it was a steady beat in my pulse rather than a clawing inferno intent on violence. So, in a way, he was helping me to keep it in check, which was weird. "How much longer are we going to have to wait?" Melody asked. Xander, one of the head honchos, sighed. "Not much longer, I hope." The tightness around his mouth smacked of agitation. Where the heck was Varuna? The door opened and Vritra slipped in. He inclined his dark head toward Xavier, and then took the seat to my left. His dragon pressed against mine, and I caught a flash of annoyance. I leaned in toward him. "Is everything okay?"
"It's fine. I got held up with Asura business."
He offered me a quick smile, but it didn't reach his eyes. Something was up, and once we dealt with this meeting, I'd weasel it out of him. Varuna entered a moment later. His usually relaxed gait was brusque.
"Sorry for the delay," he said.
He took a seat.
"It's not good news, I'm afraid. Our plan B has been shot down."
Xavier and Nolan exhaled in unison, and then they broke into a low murmur. Melody and I locked gazes. What the heck had plan B been? I opened my mouth to ask, but Melody beat me to it. "Well, do we get to know what your plan B was?" she asked, not bothering to hide her irritation. Varuna's eyes narrowed in contemplation. Was he seriously going to hold out on us? I sat forward. "Oh, come on. For all you know, our world could get wiped out in a few days. Everyone in this room has top-level clearance, so spill it." Varuna sighed.
"Fine, but this is for your ears only."
He focused on Vritra before continuing.
"This must not go back to the Asura. Do I have your word?"
Vritra inclined his head.
"You have it." "A few years ago, we discovered several overlaps between our dimension and other realities. We set up division to monitor them, and then we found a wormhole to a place called Gateway.
another dimension? Vritra asked.
You could call it that, except Gateway is suspended in space. It's a huge space station which monitors hundreds of wormholes. The Gateway is a library of information about the universes. It's a record of the rise and fall of hundreds of civilizations. His eyes lit up. And we've been working with them in a tentative alliance to learn more about existence in general. I'd hoped we could use Gateway to move our people to a safe zone through one of their wormholes, but they refused the request. They can't afford to draw the cosmic gods' attention, and have shut down the wormhole until we've sorted out this mess. It's standard protocol with worlds that could pose a threat to the Gateway.
A space station manning wormholes. Now that was something else. Did Aaron know about this?
Of course he did. He worked for Division, as did Lockie. What a secret to have kept.
Has Aaron been there?
Varna blinked at me.
Mr. Black was our top liaison officer.
Was, Melina said. He pressed his lips together.
Now that he's been contaminated, we can't risk having him work at Division.
Melina gripped my hand tight.
He was working for you when he was contaminated, and he's going to be fine, because you're going to see to it that he is.
He leaned forward. Because I'm sure you don't just abandon your best operatives, do you?
Her amber eyes flashed, reminding me of the assassin that lurked under the mum she'd become.
Varuna exhaled through his nose.
Of course, we'll do everything within our power to free him from Malachi's hold. Aaron is a valuable member of Division, but we need to be sure that there are no lingering effects of Malachi's hold on him. Gateway won't allow him entry unless we can provide irrefutable proof that he is completely cured. Their priority is the sanctity of their data.
Then you cure him, Melina said.
We will do our best, Varuna said.
Melina sat back, her mouth tight.
If this Gateway was as connected as Varuna claimed it was, then I could understand their reservations about giving our people sanctuary. They were afraid the cosmic gods might turn their attention to their world. There had to be another way.
Melina, Melody asked, how did it go at Nargalok?
I glanced across at my friend.
You went back?
Melina shot me a sheepish look.
You were busy getting anchored. I dropped off the kids and Garuda and asked if we could bring some humans over.
And?
It's a no from them too.
She winced.
Same reason as Gateway. They don't want to attract the attention of the cosmic gods. But the kids are safe there, so I can focus here.
Her knuckles in her lap were white, and her back was ramrod straight. I'd known her long enough to recognize the signs of anxiety. This was the mum side of Melina, the side that was worried that her kids may never see her again. But the assassin side, the hero who'd saved our world 5 years ago, was in the driver's seat, and it would make her stay and kick ass, because that's who she fundamentally was. But if she seriously thought I'd put her in the line of fire on this case, she was delusional. Being pregnant didn't make her redundant by any means, but being a mum meant she needed to think about those cutie pies of hers. But now wasn't the time to bring that up. Melina was a stubborn cow, and she'd dig in her heels hard. If I was going to convince her to get to safety with her children, then I was going to need backup to do it. I rapped my fingers on the table. If Gateway or Nargalok won't help, then we'll just have to make sure we can stop Malachi before the eclipse. I'll check in with the Coven and find out how they're getting on with the spell to bind Malachi, and work on a plan to lure him out. Meanwhile, we need manpower against Malachi's supernatural army and the djinn.
You think the djinn will act against us?
Melody said.
Who knows what they'll do? They have an alliance with Malachi, and we don't know the terms of that alliance. Plus, there are members of their council that would love to get their hooks into our world. For all we know, Malachi may have promised them territories in exchange for their aid. We can't take any chances.
She's right, Melody said. We need to assume the worst and be prepared to counteract it.
The Asura are ready to fight, Ritra said firmly.
Good. That was good. I think we're going to need more soldiers on the ground.
We have the gods, Melina said. When the void attacked, not all the gods were awake, but they are now, right?
She looked to Varuna for confirmation. Varuna dropped his gaze, shifting uncomfortably in his seat. A prickle of unease skimmed across my scalp.
Uh-oh. I didn't like the look of this.
Varuna? Melina pressed.
What aren't you telling us?
He puffed out his cheeks and blew out a breath.
The gods are gone.
Had I heard right? No, wait. Sorry, what did you say? Varuna licked his lips. I'd met the gods several times now, and I'd never seen him thrown. He was always together and on the ball. Right now, he looked like a naughty kid caught with his hand in the cookie jar.
Varuna, Melina snapped.
Varuna's jaw tensed, and he pushed back his shoulders. The gods have fought for this world time and time again. On this occasion, they chose not to. Many believe that this attack is a sign that it's time for them to move on to new pastures. Gateway offered them a new home before they shut down access. Many took them up on the offer. The cosmic gods want to claim humanity. They aren't concerned with the gods of our world, so the gods have moved on. There are plenty of new worlds being born, worlds that could benefit from divine guidance.
So they just abandoned us?
I couldn't believe this. It was insane.
Beside me, Melina choked on a laugh.
Well, fuck you too, she said. Fuck you all!
Varuna held up his hand. Not all of us. I stayed, didn't I?
Anger was a silent wave inside me, sudden and exaggerated.
Yeah? And why did you stay?
The corner of his mouth turned up.
Because I've never been one to run from a challenge.
Vritra's hand slipped onto my thigh, a sign of comfort or a signal to stand down. I wasn't sure, but I was grateful for it. I let the rage seep out and closed my eyes. There had to be another way to get hands on deck, fighters to work alongside the Asura. My eyes snapped open as the idea came to me.
You said many of the gods had gone, but what about Yama? What about the god of the underworld? He must have reapers he can lend us. If we can get hold of one of those rogue reapers, maybe we can get a message to Yama himself.
Melina sat up straighter. Yama had been her almost lover. She'd known him as a man with no memory of his past, and she'd loved him in her own way. The gods had taken his memories to protect his mind, and when they'd been returned to him, he'd shut the gods out of his realm.
Varuna blinked at me. You want to find the rogue reapers that tried to kill you not too long ago?
I waved a dismissive hand. They were only doing their job, and now that Banner is gone, I doubt they give a shit about killing me. I just need to find a way to contact them.
Varuna shrugged. I can't help you with that. I suppose only someone who has contracted them would have that answer, and the only two people we know who've had contact with them are dead.
In that case, I'll have to find a way to get into the underworld.
Melina squeezed my hand. Babe. You know the gates of the underworld are closed to the living, right?
I refuse to admit defeat on this one.
Well, there has to be another way to get a message to him, warn him that he may be getting an influx of souls.
Melody spoke up. Do you think the coven can help by using magic?
It was worth a try. I'll speak to the High Witch. Meanwhile, we can recruit supernaturals, Rakshasa and Yaksha. We'll call a meeting and tell them what's going on.
Varuna frowned.
That's a good plan, but once again we have the problem of how to get the message to them.
Melody and I locked gazes.
Nathaniel, we said together.
Varuna cocked his head.
The Night Owl.
His brow cleared.
Yes, of course. I read the report you filed. He could place a call to action in his online newsletter. He tapped his finger on the table. Do it. It was as if my mind was on a roll, because with this tiny win, another idea presented itself, and suddenly I knew where to hide our citizens. We could secret them away under the city in Garnet's night realm. Sure, it was filled with vamps, but Garnet was the boss, right? He would be able to guarantee the civilians' protection.
Carmela, Vitra said, you look like there should be a light bulb above your head.
I blinked at him and then grinned at his pun. Yeah, I think I may have a place where we can stash our people.
Well, Varna raised an inquiring brow, are you going to share?
I need to get the go-ahead first.
The go-ahead? From who?
Varna asked. This isn't a place we can just use without permission, and to be honest, I'm not sure I can share its existence just yet.
Varna blew out a breath. Do what you need to. Just work fast.
Melody met my gaze across the table, and the glint in her eyes told me she'd come to the same conclusion as me. She knew exactly what I was talking about, because she'd been there with me. I looked to Varna. As soon as I get a go, we need a plan to mobilize the citizens without Malachi finding out.
To be honest, I wasn't expecting Gateway to turn us down, Varna said. So I already have Kevin, the technician, working on a mobilization strategy. We're planning on setting up a series of localized broadcasts, instructing one district at a time to convene at a particular location. We tell them it's for their own safety, that there is a gas leak in the city, and they must vacate their homes.
And then?
From there, we sedate and move them to a secure location.
He locked gazes with me.
The secure location was supposed to be via Gateway, but you will now hopefully provide us with an alternative.
The plan was coming together. We already had a way to mobilize the citizens without Malachi detecting that we were up to something. Now all we needed was a way to speak to Yama, a meeting with the supernaturals of the city, and Garnet's support to hide the humans.
Yeah, not a tall order at all, right?
Vritra and I left the conference room together. My body ached, a slow burning throb of exhaustion, and the anger I'd experienced reminded me of the kneading, a sign that the inhibitor Patrick had fitted me with was no longer doing its job.
Are you all right? Vritra asked.
I nodded, resisting the urge to lean into him. I need to speak to Allura and make some calls. Melody ducked out behind us. I'll call Nathaniel into the office and set him to work with Kevin to set out a secure newsletter. You focus on the coven. I'll call you once we have something set up. I nodded, grateful for the lessening of my workload. Damn, I could sleep for a week. Vritra slipped his arm around my waist and hauled me up against his side.
You look as if you're about to collapse. Carmela, it's the anchor, isn't it? It's beginning to drain you.
Yeah, it so was. But he couldn't know that. If he did, he'd insist Garnet unanchor me and then we'd be left without a spell to finish off Malachi. I'm okay, just tired. I didn't sleep much last night.
My dragon stirred in reproach. Okay, so I'd slept like a log, but he didn't need to know that.
I'm coming to see Allura with you, he said.
I was too tired to argue, and the company would be nice. Fine, but I need to make a couple of quick stops here first. Can I meet you in the lobby in a half hour? He looked down at me, his gaze soft and probing. My heart lurched.
I'll grab us a bite to eat, he said.
This was nice, being taken care of for a change. I smiled. Thanks.
Melina exited the meeting room, her expression stormy. Fucking dick gods. Vritra choked back a laugh.
I could have told you that.
She assessed him through narrow eyes. You hurt her and I'll kill you.
She gave him her most wicked, sadistic smile.
I'll do it slow and painful. Vritra met her gaze steadily.
I'd expect nothing less.
He dismissed her and turned his attention to me, his expression warm with concern.
I'll see you in a bit.
He walked off down the corridor, and my heart gave a little tug, as if wanting to go with him.
He seems genuine, Melina said.
Yeah, I think he really is. I hooked my arm through Melina's. Come on, we need to check in with Aaron. And once we'd done that, I needed to get my chip checked out. Aaron was pacing, his lithe body moving restlessly like a caged panther. He stopped when he caught sight of Melina and I, and his tense expression smoothed out to one of relief.
I'm sorry, he said. You need to know that I'm sorry.
Melina and I exchanged glances. Had he really thought we blamed him for what had happened?
Fuck's sake, Aaron, none of this is your fault, Melina said. You're a victim, just like all the other humans in Malachi's grasp.
He ran a hand over his head.
I could feel him inside my head, pushing, taking over, and I couldn't stop it. His words, the tone, everything was warm and welcoming and seductive.
I stepped closer to the glass. It's what he does. Some are able to resist, others aren't. He attacked the red zone with some kind of sonar, took a bunch of supernaturals and somehow made the others tear each other to shreds. He's a cosmic god, Aaron. You didn't have a chance.
You managed to resist, he said, mouth turned down. And the worst thing is that I know what he's planning, just not how he'll execute it. I'm fucking useless, even with this direct link to his bloody mind.
Tell us what you know, Melina said.
I told Varuna. Malachi wants to take over all the mines in the city. Once he gains a foothold, he'll send his soldiers out into the surrounding towns. His reach will spread until he has every human in his thrall. I can feel him. Even with the chip Patrick implanted in my brain, I can feel him inside my head.
Not for long, Melina said. We're going to kick that fucker out of your mind, babe. I promise. Now was my cue to address the issue of her being here. Melina, I think you should go back to Nargalok.
She shook her head. It won't do any good. They've made up their minds. They won't give the human sanctuary.
Aaron locked gazes with me, and his eyes flared in comprehension.
I think she means you should go and stay there until this is over.
Melina tensed.
Seriously? What the fuck?
You think I can't be useful here because I'm bloody pregnant? She turned on me, eyes flashing. Do you want me to kick your ass right here to prove just how fucking combat ready I am?
Oh boy. No, you don't need to prove anything. But just answer me this question. Do you want to risk your kids growing up without a mum?
She opened her mouth to respond and then snapped it closed. Her eyes glittered dangerously.
That was a shitty move, Hunter.
Yeah. She was mad. She only ever called me Hunter when she was pissed.
I love you, Melina, and I fucking love your girls. Don't you think you've sacrificed enough? Fought hard enough for everyone else? Isn't it time to put yourself and your family first?
The doubt flashed across her face.
I can't just walk away.
Yes, you can, Aaron said softly.
Melina, you saved us all once. Let us save you this time.
She ducked her head.
Garuda was furious with me. He wanted me to stay. He wanted to come in my place and I wouldn't let him.
I pulled her into a hug and pressed a kiss to the side of her face.
Go, babe. Go be with your family. Do it for me. Knowing you guys are safe will make me even more kick-ass.
She snorted into my shoulder.
I love you, chick. I love you more.
I love you guys too, Aaron said. Patrick joined us.
Ladies, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. We need to run some tests on Mr. Black.
Aaron's expression sobered and he stepped away from the glass. I released Melina.
What kind of tests?
Patrick tapped at his tablet.
The chip we embedded in his cerebral cortex is beginning to deteriorate.
It's almost as if the connection with the cosmic god is whittling away at it. We need to mute that connection and slow things down.
What does that mean exactly?
Melina asked.
It means they need to put me into a coma,
Aaron said.
Fuck. Can you not put in another chip?
We could, Patrick said, but I'd prefer not to poke around in his brain too much.
Aaron chuckled.
I agree.
He gave us a half smile. I'll be fine, I promise. And when this is over, we're going to have a proper get-together with booze and food and tons of catching up.
His words brought a wave of nostalgia.
Yeah, that sounds perfect.
Melina pressed her hand to the glass and he echoed the movement.
I turned to Patrick. Can I have a quick word?
He nodded.
Of course.
He led me away from the glass cage and into his office. What can I do for you?
I think the inhibitor you put in is malfunctioning.
He frowned.
Already? No, it should have lasted 6 months at least.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I recently became the anchor to the skein for the coven. Could that mess with the inhibitor?
It depends on what being an anchor entails.
I winced. Acting as a bridge between a bunch of witches and the skein? His brow shot up.
So channeling a vast amount of power through your body?
Yeah, something like that.
Yes, that would certainly do it, Patrick said. I'm sorry, Carmella, with that kind of strain on your body, it's only a matter of days before the chip fails. We could even be talking a matter of hours.
My stomach flip-flopped.
Thanks.
This can't be good for you, Patrick said. Our bodies, supernatural or not, aren't designed to channel such vast amounts of power. How long have you been an anchor?
A couple of days.
Have you experienced nausea, exhaustion, aches and pains?
All of the above.
I knew what was involved when I signed up. There is no other way to bring Malachi down. We need the skein to craft a binding spell, and I'm the only way to get to it.
He reached for me, tilting my chin to study my eyes. He pulled down my bottom lid.
Say ah.
I dutifully opened my mouth.
Your glands are swollen, he said. Your body is working hard to keep functioning. It's acting as if you have an infection.
He pressed his lips together.
You tell the coven to hurry, and if you start to feel worse, you come and see me. We could try putting your body into stasis to minimize the damage.
Stasis would put me out of action.
Yeah, that wasn't happening, but he didn't need to know that.
Thanks, Patrick. I will.
Leaving him in his office, I said my goodbyes to Aaron and Melina, with promises to stay safe. I'd see them again once this was over. I left the lab, my mind churning with all the stuff that could go wrong if I lost focus. Patrick said I had days, maybe only hours, before the chip he'd implanted failed and the needing returned, and then I'd be out of control. I needed to stay in control, and there was logically only one way to do that. I'd need to mate with Ritra. 2.
Okay, so I was a chicken. One look at him standing there in the lobby, jeans moulded to his thighs, shirt pulled tight across that muscular, taut chest of his, hair slightly tousled from the icy breeze outside, and I lost the power of speech. He was looking out the window, at the leaves which blew in mini tornadoes across the busy street, at a world which was a landscape of browns and yellows, the dying embers of autumn. In that unguarded moment, he was no longer harsh plains and a predator's gaze. In that moment, he was just a man, a beautiful man, marvelling at the world outside a window. My heart hitched in my chest. I wanted the man behind the dragon. The man who'd supported me from the sidelines from day one, jumping in when needed but giving me the space to find myself. I'd believed the attraction between us had been at dragon level only, primal and something out of my control. I'd been wrong.
whereas before the thought of mating with him had sent me into a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?